Welcome to the Laura's House podcast series. In this installment of our series, we will be speaking with Marissa Presley, a bilingual prevention and education specialist, about the growing prevalence of dating abuse in middle schools and how Laura's House is working to educate 7th and 8th graders on healthy relationships and appropriate conflict resolution skills for preventing dating abuse. Marissa, why don't you start by telling us what an abusive relationship looks like when it involves middle school or high school students?
Yes, of course, Adam. One of the myths about teen dating abuse is that most people think that abuse means physically hurting someone, like hitting, slapping, or strangling. What often surprises people is that verbal and emotional abuse can be just as devastating and harmful as physical abuse. Some examples include telling you what to wear or what not to wear, isolating you from your friends and your family, name-calling or putting you down, or even threatening to kill him or herself, or threatening to spread rumors about you. With that said, we don't want to underestimate the physical abuse that tweens and teens are enduring as part of their relationships with a boyfriend or girlfriend. This is a problem that has devastating consequences. For example, Adam, I'm now working with survivors who experience rape and other physical or verbal abusive behaviors from a dating partner when they were in middle school, which will continue to affect them emotionally and psychologically for the rest of their lives. You know, beyond the physical and verbal abuse, far too many teens have died at the hands of their abusers. In September of 2008, Jackie Villa Gomez, a former student of El Toro High School, died at the hands of her abuser. Jackie was only 19 years old when she was killed. More recently, a University of Virginia student, Yeardley Love, was killed by her boyfriend, a fellow lacrosse player. There are so many such cases which leave us to wonder how the signs of this devastating abuse were missed by friends, parents, and teachers.
Are there any recent studies that point to the rise in dating abuse among middle school students?
Oh, yes. In fact, according to a recent study by the Prevention in Middle School Matters, a summary of findings on teen dating violence behaviors and associated risk factors among seventh grade students by RTI International on behalf of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and Blue Shield of California Foundation, dating abuse is becoming more prevalent in middle schools. Some of the key findings from the report include that 75% of those surveyed reported having had a boyfriend or girlfriend. Within the 6 months preceding the study, more than one in three students surveyed reported being a victim of psychological dating abuse, and nearly one in six reported being a victim of physical dating abuse, and nearly one in three reported being a victim of electronic dating aggression.
Wow. Despite these reports, if you ask most parents, they will often deny that their child is in a dating, quote, dating relationship in middle school. How do you respond to that?
Sadly, the reality is that we are finding that middle schools are ripe for dating abuse. While many parents may be surprised to learn that their children are dating in middle school, I can assure them that it is happening right under the noses of the parents, the teachers, and all the school administrators. At a time when these young adults should be enjoying the waning years of their childhood and preparing for high school, a growing number of them are entering the world of dating and facing the realities of dating abuse. While middle school students may not be going out on, quote, date in the traditional sense of the word, they are hanging out together in the hallways, in the cafeteria, under the bleachers, on the school bus, and even as they walk home from school in the afternoon. And the verbal and physical abuse is taking place at these locations as well. As such, it has become crucial that we reach middle school students through our Healthy Emotions and Attitudes in Relationships for Teens, or HEART program, and ensure that they become educated on healthy relationships and tactics for preventing teen dating abuse as early in life as possible.
What is the HEART program?
Annually, Laura's House provides the HEART program to more than 3,000 Orange County teens at local middle schools, high schools, junior colleges, and other youth facilities. This program helps teens become educated on healthy relationships, appropriate conflict resolution. We also designed a website to assist teens who are seeking information on healthy relationships.
Do you have any examples of students you've worked with who were in middle school when they experienced dating abuse?
Oh yeah, Laura's House is so grateful to be able to work with a number of tweens and teens who have experienced dating abuse and are now speaking out against dating abuse as part of our prevention and education efforts through the HEART program. One such example is Kayla, who is now in high school and experienced dating abuse while she was in middle school when a relationship she was having with a classmate escalated to rape. Kayla ended up reporting the abuse and the rape to the school and local authorities, but due to rumors that the boy spread about her at school, she is now being homeschooled. As a result of her experiences with dating violence, Kayla was compelled to become an advocate for teen dating abuse prevention. Kayla is with me here today, and I would like to have her tell you firsthand about her experience with dating abuse. Hi, Kayla. How are you today?
When I was in middle school, around 2011, I ended up meeting a guy who was quiet and shy and didn't really seem, you know, too much out of the ordinary. He wouldn't be classified appearance-wise as being an abuser, but little did I know that he was going to end up hurting me in ways that I would never be able to understand. Well, I met him seventh grade, and when I met him after school. And after that, we started talking a bit after school, and I never got his name the first time that I met him, but I was persistent on being able to find him again. After school, I would start walking after school to the place where I first met him, hoping that I'd be able to see him. And one day, you know, next week, it ended up working, and I ended up seeing him. He told me that he liked me, and I told him that I liked him back, and I thought he was pretty nice. And from then on, he started asking me if I could hang out with him after school. And, you know, it didn't seem like too much, and my parents always told me, you know, like, I wasn't allowed to date, first off. And then second off, you know, I wasn't supposed to be walking anywhere else but home. And I thought about that, and, you know, I ignored that. And, you know, I started hanging out with him, and he asked me if we could hang out for a few minutes. And that's what it started off with, and that's all it took. And then he started asking me to do sexual things with him, and in which I wasn't comfortable with, obviously. I mean, who would be? You know, he told me that he liked me and that if I really liked him back, that, you know, people that love each other, like each other, would do those things with each other. And, you know, I didn't see any other reason. You know, I thought, you know, well, obviously if he says this, then it must be true. So I ended up doing it, and, you know, that's all it took. And really after that, that's how it started progressing. And it, you know, came, you know, every day he kept asking me. But around eighth grade, he started asking me if we could take it a step further. And, you know, I wasn't very comfortable with that, but I still, I don't know, felt compelled to do it because obviously the things that he was saying, it was kind of like guilt tripping me in a way, but, you know, it was also a form of manipulation. And unfortunately, I kept telling him after school I would have sex with him, but, you know, it never really happened in middle school. Small things count for me, and I started changing the way that I looked and started looking more provocative, you know, and I could tell that he was flirting with other girls, but he told me straight up one time that if I didn't have sex with him soon, that he would leave me and that he would find another girl who would, and that kind of scared me a little bit, but I kept telling him, okay, well, after, you know, this day, I'll go ahead and meet with you and we'll go ahead and do it. But it never really happened. And I told him that, you know, with my religion, you know, it's not something that I believed in, was, you know, being sexually active before I was married. And I always put that into mind, but, you know, I guess there was, you know, multiple reasons, underlying reasons, for the reason that I wouldn't be doing it. But I told him that, you know, maybe if we were dating, I would think about it and most likely do it. So we started dating, and I didn't, you know, now I wouldn't call it dating. I would call it a thing, but I guess that's all it took. And, you know, when I kept telling him that I would do it and find excuses not to do it, when that day came, he ended up catching on, and he ended up breaking up with me. And just like he had promised me, he found another girl who would start being in some sort of a relationship with him. And that hurt me. But, you know, he told me sorry one day after school, and I guess that was at the end of the year. And when summer came, I ended up finding out that he was doing the same things that he was doing with me, with my friends, and that really hurt me a lot. And so I kind of pushed him aside. But when high school came and I went into ninth grade, he ended up getting transferred into my health class, coincidentally, the same time that we were learning about pregnancy, which I find that a little bit funny in a way. So we were learning about those things, and, you know, I wasn't really thinking about it. I was just kind of upset with the fact that he was put in my class, and I didn't really want to see him because he kept continually hurting me and, you know, saying things to me that, you know, would put me down. But then when he ends up getting in my class and I looked at him, he ended up asking me if he could talk to me after school. And of course, I said sure, because I feel like everyone should have the right to talk and, you know, explain themselves. But when I ended up hanging out with him after school and talking to him, he had to walk the same way home as me, and so we talked, and he told me that he was sorry for all the things that he had said and did to me, and was sorry for the rumors that he spread about me, and a lot of people called me really horrible names because he ended up telling them, like, what we were doing, and, you know, half the time it wasn't what I was wanting to do, but it was him telling me what we should be doing. But a lot of people, you know, ended up getting a bad reputation for that. But I kind of pushed aside, and I felt like I really loved him. And, of course, I bet you to anyone else that was in the same spot as me, they would feel like that's love. But, you know, it's really not. It's just somebody that's lusting for you. So when he was talking to me after school, he ended up asking me if we could take it a step further, and that he had protection. And so I told him that we would hang out and talk after school, and we went to the same spot that we did, which was on the side of the middle school in a bush. So we were talking for a few minutes, and I told him that I had to leave in 5 minutes, and that's all it took was for him to kiss me. And I was kind of like in shock after everything that happened, and it seemed kind of spur of the moment. But after that, he ended up taking off my clothes, and he started raping me. At first, I didn't really say too much, and, you know, I was kind of fine with it at the beginning, but after a while, I realized that it wasn't what I was wanting. And I kept telling him to get off and to stop, and continually he didn't. So that for me, that's what's considered rape, because no matter what, somebody should have the right to say no. And, you know, even if it's something that you think that you want in the beginning and realize that it's not, then, you know, that's your time to speak up, and they should respect that, because, you know, it ends up being your values and your moral. And for me, it wasn't okay. I thought I was okay with it, but I wasn't, because I just realized that it was just going to be like this for a really long time. And so after he got finished raping me, he gave me a hug and told me that I did a good job and ended up walking off, and that really hurt me. So I called my friend after all of that happened. I was walking home, and I told my friend that, you know, if I said no, even though I was okay with it in the beginning, even though I said no, if that would be considered rape. And my friend, he told me, yeah, it would. And, you know, he was telling, trying to convince me to tell my parents. And, you know, of course I was scared, because not only am I not allowed to be dating, but, you know, now, you know, they have to know that, you know, something terrible and sexual happened to me. And, you know, they knew that I probably wouldn't be able to forget about it. But my friend, I never, like, really got the chance to tell my friend thank you for telling me that. But, you know, my friend told me that if I didn't tell my parents, he would, because he thinks that they should know, and, it, you know, it's something I shouldn't have to go through alone. And I never got to tell my friend thank you for that. But knowing that he, you know, wanted me to have my mom get on the phone and tell him that I had said something, you know, spoke out about it. But my phone ended up dying, unfortunately. And my friend was kind enough to actually drive all the way over to my house to make sure that I was okay and that she knew. And I'll be forever grateful for that, because that's the time that I started speaking out about it. And I ended up talking to my school, because my dad was, you know, upset about it, about everything that happened, and he wanted something to be done about it. So, yeah, he told my school, and I spoke to law enforcement, and, you know, there wasn't a whole lot they could do, but the fact that I was speaking out about it was, you know, good enough.
Thank you, Kayla. Marissa, how can parents of middle school students help in preventing dating abuse?
Well, parents can help prepare their children to develop strong and healthy relationships by keeping the lines of communication open and being vigilant on their children's usage of electronic devices, online social media tools, and in their interactions with others. Parents really need to be aware of how their children are communicating with their friends and boyfriends or girlfriends. For tweens especially, it is critical that parents check their child's text, incoming and outgoing, and monitor the frequency of texts and phone calls from their cell phone. Review photos stored on their cell phones and look at social media posts on a daily basis. In addition to being aware of their child's online activities, there are other signs that a child might be experiencing dating abuse. Parents should look for unexplained physical marks, including cuts and bruises, changes in the child's behavior or personality, including sadness, moodiness, anxiety, depression, loss of interest in activities or friends, difficulty sleeping, and or loss of appetite, a sudden drop in grades, and even running away.
These are all very helpful and informative tips for parents. I also understand that Laura's House recently launched a new website that helps both teens and parents become educated on teen dating abuse. Can you tell us a little bit more about that website?
Oh, yes. With funding from Verizon Wireless Hopeline Grant, Laura's House now has a robust online presence for the HEART program. It's a colorful and dynamic website, which can be viewed at www.laurashouse.org/LHTEEN. It offers a number of interactive features designed to reach today's tech-savvy tweens and teen populations. The features include digital postcards that address dating abuse and provide tips and encouragement to tweens and teens that find themselves in an abusive relationship. We also have an online pledge card that enables teens to take a virtual stand against dating abuse. A quiz that features that lets teens and tweens assess whether they might be in an abusive relationship, or maybe they are the abuser. We have music, news, current events, podcasts like the one we are doing today, and other informative resources that can help tweens and teens become educated about dating abuse.
Marissa, thank you for taking the time to share information with us on the important topic of dating abuse in middle schools. Before we close, can you share some background on Laura's House for our listeners?
Yes, absolutely. Laura's House is a community-based nonprofit organization that empowers individuals and families to lead violence-free lives. We offer a comprehensive range of services, including emergency shelter, transitional housing, therapeutic counseling, psychoeducational and supportive services. We have legal support service, community education, prevention workshops for teens on healthy relationships and dating violence. Assistance is also available to men, women, and children who have been impacted by domestic violence. Counseling is provided in English and Spanish. Our mission is to change the social beliefs and the attitudes and the behaviors that perpetuate domestic violence, while at the same time we want to create a safe space in which to empower individuals and families affected by abuse.
Marissa, my final question is, if I'm a domestic violence victim and want to help protect myself and my children from further violence, how can I contact Laura's House?
Yes, of course. You can contact us through visiting our website, and you can log on to www.laurashouse.org, or you can call our 24-hour crisis hotline at 949-498-1511. We also have a toll-free at 866-498-1511.
Marissa and Kayla, thank you both so much for your time today. It was really wonderful getting to speak with you.
Yes, thank you, Adam, and especially thanks, Kayla, for speaking up.